The Good Friday holiday is closing town and county services today. Chapel Hill Transit is operating on a Sunday schedule with no U route. Orange County Public Transportation will only run its dialysis route. Chapel Hill Parks and Rec offices are closed, along with the Hargrave Center, the Teen Center, and the Community Center Pool. Hillsborough Town offices will be closed today, and Orange County Administrative offices are also closed, including all branches of the Orange County Library. You can get a full list of schedule changes for today on our website, chapelborough.com. Orange County schools also have today off for Good Friday, and district officials are likely happy to get that break after yesterday, when a photo of a rifle and a vaguely worded threat posted on social media briefly raised fears at Cedar Ridge High School. Officials eventually figured out it was an old photo from New Mexico that's been circulating for years, nothing to do with Cedar Ridge, but the school did go into soft lockdown briefly until officials were able to make that determination. The same exact photo also caused disruption the day before at a school district in Tennessee. Elsewhere in town, parts of Hillsborough are under a boil water advisory today after a water main break caused by a contractor working at the intersection of Oakdale Drive and Orange Grove Road. The water's back on, but it will take until the end of today to confirm that it's safe to drink. Affected residents have all been notified. Anyone who lost water service yesterday is affected, and that includes Grady Brown Elementary and Cedar Ridge High. Better news from Orange County Schools. Big congratulations to Isaiah Henry, who's a fifth grader at Grady Brown Elementary. He just qualified for the Scripps National Spelling Bee after winning a regional title in Durham. The Spelling Bee will take place in Washington, D.C., starting on May 30th. Over to Raleigh now, where the State House officially signed off on Republicans' budget plan for next year. Budget discussions now move to the State Senate, where Republicans are still working to finalize their own plan. The Senate did pass two other bills yesterday, including one that shifts more appointment power from the governor's office to state lawmakers. That bill heads to the House now, though Governor Roy Cooper has called it unconstitutional. And WRAL reports the Senate also signed off yesterday on a bill that would allow law enforcement, with the judge's permission, to publicly name juveniles accused of violent crimes while they're still at large. That's following the murders of Lyric Woods and Devin Clark last year in Orange County, when officials could not release the name of the suspect while he was on the run for 2 weeks. That bill passed the Senate nearly unanimously. It now heads to the House. Civil liberties organizations, though, raising objections on privacy concerns. Back locally, Orange County commissioners voted narrowly this week to reject a rezoning request for a proposed Dollar General store on 54 and Whitecross. The board is usually closer to unanimous on questions like this, but in this case, the final vote was 4-3 following a long discussion, including an hour's worth of public comment. County Commissioner James Etta Bedford on what it came down to.
When there's a rezoning request, it's really not about the specific vendor. Like, it's not about Dollar General, or it's not about if it was a bookstore or a CVS drugstore. It's about land use and only land use. Some commissioners are very much pro-economic development along 54, and then others felt that it really was not appropriate and that it was basically inconsistent with the comprehensive plan and would disturb that rural character at Whitecross. And that a retail store, given that there are other retail stores there, wasn't particularly going to diversify what was available for residents either.
That's James Etta Bedford speaking there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelborough.com. Finally, we head downtown, where one of Chapel Hill's oldest institutions is holding a 100th birthday party next Wednesday. Sutton's Drugstore is going to celebrate a century of being on Franklin Street. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell recently stopped by to learn more and to get a reminder of what makes it such a special place.
When you walk into Sutton's Drugstore, you can tell it is undoubtedly a family business. Although maybe not in the way that immediately comes to mind. It's not been passed along from one generation of a bloodline to another, but the Chapel Hill shop has fostered and maintained its own community over the course of its four owners. Current owner, Don Penny, is perhaps the most prominent example, since his parents met while working at the store, and he's worked here in some form since he was 13 years old. Penny ran the diner side of operations from the 1990s onward, taking full ownership of the business once the pharmacy side of Sutton's was bought out in 2014. The title of owner, and Sutton's having two additional locations to its name, hasn't changed Penny's attitude coming into work each day. as he still helps out with any job and trades hellos and how are yous with regular customers.
Just get that back to me. Would you get a burger? He hadn't had one of those, have you?
The drugstore was first opened in 1923 by Linwood and Lucy Sutton, and its pharmacy was the main business for many years. Although, the food component was always there, as people grabbed snacks waiting for their prescriptions to be filled. Some of the trappings have gone away, like the toy store and the medicine aisles, but the back counter and pharmacy sign still hangs as a reminder of its operations under the prior owner, Jim Woodard. Penny credits several things for the grill's longevity and popularity. One is the family of staff members he's assembled and largely kept the same for decades. But he said another is Sutton's ability to adapt to the times, which was perhaps tested the most in 2020. Like so many other local restaurants, Sutton's closed during the first months of COVID-19's spread. At one point, Penny said it looked like the drugstore was at risk of staying closed before the community of customers raised $45,000 to help keep it afloat. He said with that money, his focus was on keeping his staff members together.
My first goal was to make sure the employees were taken care of. That's it, because they are my offense. They're the ones that make you want to come back and eat.
That group who comes back, whether it's current students, regulars at the shop, or people visiting to find their photo on the wall, are the extended family of Sutton's. That willingness to help and refusal to let it close is another reflection of how the drugstore is included in some's definition of Chapel Hill and Franklin Street. Penny says he weighs that responsibility and tries to have a balanced approach to the business.
We're in the college now, but we only rely on about 35 to 40% students. The rest of it is alumni, locals, and the community. We just want to make sure that our roots stay there. And the students, you know, are our next generation going to go through, and then they become alumni and come back. Good philosophy says, your customers will tell you which direction to go if you'll just take the time to listen.
A close sense of community is not unheard of for other restaurants or businesses in college towns, but the affinity for Sutton's Drugstore runs deeply in ways that are hard to put into words beyond this. The staff makes its patrons feel at home. Descriptions of recognizing customers and stories of their traditions eating at the shop help paint a picture of its depth of comfort. And Penny is full of those tales.
And it's amazing how many children are born and they named after Sutton. Sutton is their name. You know, a lot of our customers, I think there's four or five of them that named their child Sutton or their dog. You know, so we have quite a few family, as we see, four-legged family going around here.
Past celebrations of Sutton's have reflected that support as well. Penny said the latest benchmark events for the store's 90th and 95th birthdays saw thousands of hot dogs sold each time. And on Wednesday, from 11 to 2:30, they're planning another big bash on Franklin Street. According to Penny, there will be decorations, a DJ, and a deal for those who eat in person.
Well, if it's anything like the 90th anniversary, expect a long wait, but we're doing dollar get you hot dogs, fries, and a drink. The first 100 people get a t-shirt, and the customers after that get cups.
Additionally, the drugstore is taking video submissions of people's best Sutton's stories that will play throughout the celebration. Find details on how to send one by visiting chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Your time is 6:16. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Town Hall Grill. UNC baseball got another win last night as the 13th-ranked Tar Heels used a 6-run fourth inning to roll over Georgia Tech 8-1. Tomas Frick hit a 3-run homer in that big fourth inning. That turned out to be the game winner. The series continues with a doubleheader today starting at 11 a.m. That's adjusted from the original schedule due to expected rain this weekend in Atlanta. Also yesterday, the top-ranked UNC women's tennis team shut out NC State 7-0. Heels are back in action tomorrow at 11, hosting Wake Forest. It'll be an all-day tennis affair. The men will take the court right afterward, hosting Duke at 2:30. Over now to the football field, where spring practice is still ongoing for UNC. New offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey is building an offense that's losing top receivers Josh Downs and Antoine Green, but returning star quarterback Drake May for his final college season, likely at least. Here's Chip Lindsey talking about Drake May.
When you play that position, the team they respond to you. So you need your body language, your energy, your attitude needs to always be good. You got to be a guy that can bring people with you and lead them. And he has that natural ability. And I think, you know, he's only really been the starter here for 1 year. And I wasn't here last year, but when he became the starter, he probably earned that by the way he approached work every day in practice. And then he went out and played well on top of it. So now he's got credibility, right? And now when he says something, those guys listen. I mean, I've seen him interact with our players at all positions. They look him in the eye when he's talking to them. He's got natural leadership ability, you know, and things that I wanted to know is you know, from a standpoint of leading our offense is just to be confident, be positive, be able to correct guys without, you know, demeaning them and downplaying them. And I think he does a great job of mixing that. There's a time to really to get after someone, and there's a time to encourage. And I think he's got a really good knack of knowing when to do that.
And to UNC offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey speaking there. Elsewhere on the Carolina sports calendar, a doubleheader today for Tar Heel lacrosse as the 5th-ranked women host Pitt at 2 o'clock and the 9th-ranked men host number 3 Virginia at 5. And Carolina softball hosts Pitt this weekend for a 3-game set starting tonight at 6. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes saw a 3-game winning streak come to an end last night with a 3-0 loss at Nashville. The Canes are back on the road tomorrow, taking on Buffalo at 12:30. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls got their 3rd straight win last night, using a 7-run 6th inning to beat Jacksonville 11-7. 6 games into the season for the Bulls, the road team has won all 6 of those games. Game 4 of their series is tonight at 7.